My parents are always like, Sunny, why is that whenever technology touches your hands, it starts breaking?
Anyways, probably because you toss it all in a tote bag with a 5-pound steel water bottle and then yank it out like that. But also, I mean, technology breaks.
Should it last. Gets worse. It should last. Like, it's so stupid. Like, why the fuck?
Especially for how expensive it is.
Like, why do you have to replace a $1,200 laptop every 5 years? That should last 20 years.
And it used to.
Moment of silence.
But the woke media...
doesn't want to tell you that. we are the woke media.
Exactly. This is the woke media. And that's why we don't tell you.
Right. No, exactly.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Lavender Menace. Woo! I'm Renaissance here in St. Louis.
Sunny in St. Louis. Renaissance in St. Louis. Yup. You know, I'm St. Louis's number one PR agent, and they should be paying me, but they didn't even re-elect Cori Bush. Moment of silence.
It's about to get real dark.
Yeah. Real dark in Congress. Yeah. Every branch of the government, really.
Oh, yes.
And then on every level, too. But America. Yeah. Anyways.
We're here with another episode.
We have one hot take for y'all today. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhat... Why is there a bug?
I was trying not to point it out.
Why is there a bug?
Restart it.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even care.
Okay.
That's your... Live your truth. That bug can live its truth. I hope it doesn't have a bug that eats other bugs.
Inshallah.
Please be a spider. Anyways, today we're going to be talking about a hot take that has to do with our most recent episode that you last heard, where we did start off by saying, don't ask us for job advice. Don't ask us for job advice. Please. We need the advice. But there is an email in our inbox that looks pretty promising. So we're going to be talking about that hot take today, and then we're going to be reviewing and ranking Short and Sweet. Although our last like 5 episodes have all been album reviews, but what can... It's 2024. There's music everywhere.
The music has been out.
Yeah. And that's how you know we're in a recession, because the music is good.
That's actually tea.
Yeah.
That's actually tea. And don't compete writers.
Anyway, join our Patreon. Like, it's dire. Having a job is the worst. That's the subject line.
Mm-hmm. Getting into it. The short and sweet review, : and thoughts on a recession.
Okay, do you want to read it?
Oh, I'm reading it? I mean, I can. Okay.
Why not? Because the people like your voice. They do.
You're the one who has the giant YouTube channel.
Well, no, it's...
That's like, remember? 20 to 40 minute videos.
Remember how we got the email that was like, I really like how this is...
One email.
I'm not taking it personally or anything.
You're a cancer. That's impossible. Anyways. I'm not lying.
Oh, no, I also think it's because I just talk a lot. So... Like, I feel like it's maybe a 60-40 ratio of me on the mic versus you on the mic, so that's why you have to read.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's gonna be 70-40. 70-30.
Thank you.
I was about to be like, not the arithmetic, like, hold on.
Anyways, do not ask for exact change. Anyways, the hot take. Renaissance, that is us. Hello, few years long chapel stan, thanks to you too.
Well, yes. Of course.
22-year-old lesbian, been listening to the pod since 2021, we're parasocial besties for real.
Yes.
Love. And I just became a Patreon because I have an income now.
Woo! That's me, yes. With Jenny Nicholson. You remember when I signed up for that.
You were so excited because you're like, I've been watching the same 5 videos for 3 years now, every night. So you're like, I'm eating.
And the best $20 I've ever spent, I'm gonna be honest. Anyways.
The hot take continues. I'm here with a hot take and interested in your opinions. I'm a year out of college, was an engineering major for 2 years before realizing I did not want to be an engineer, due in large part to the seemingly inevitable connections to the military-industrial complex, and been lost ever since. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I truly feel like as I've grown up, I've realized there's no job or career that won't either break you or exploit others.
Mm-hmm. Or both at the same time.
And that's the consequence of living in the empire.
Yeah. Living anywhere. Living in the world under global capitalist regime.
Yeah. As we continue, I'm considering law school to get into public defense, which is definitely an important role, But the hours can be crazy watching the new young attorneys. I'm working as a public defense paralegal now. They're here weekends, nights, even federal holidays. It's so much. I also love school and would like to study anthropology or science and tech studies or something I have no idea and become a professor or something academic. But then again, that's so entrenched in the system of capitalism, and I feel like it gets me farther away from the oppression happening on the ground. For reference, I only believe in reform as a means to abolition. So policy changing in academic studies really isn't that effective in working towards abolition, I feel like. Not that there isn't value, I just think I'd feel so disconnected. On the groundwork is so genuinely important. I think both of you are recently out of college too.
Yes. Well.
And I'm wondering.
By the skin of our teeth.
Yes. And so I'm wondering how you've thought about this. Becoming a part of the capitalist system is just so frustrating. It seems like everywhere I look, there isn't a job that will suffice for me morally and also physically, i.e. working 6 days a week, long hours for stuff like public defense. I organize with the racial justice group in my state, all volunteer, and that definitely is work that I find to be super important, but obviously we need money to exist in this world, so I need a job. Have you struggled with this? Where do you see yourself fitting
in? Have you struggled with this?
Every day since I graduated high school and turned 18 years old. Where do you see yourselves fitting into the system / doing the work to break down white supremacy, patriarchy, ableism, etc., while working in the system? Love the pod and appreciate you both so much. XOXO, Julie, she, her.
Listen, Julie, we don't have the answers.
Right there with you, sister.
Yeah, and also...
Right there with
and
you.
And also, you're doing good work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
The thing is, like, on a cultural level, even if there weren't social flaws, working in the United States is hell.
Yeah.
Is hell.
Yeah.
Like, France... For all the social and political flaws that mm-hmm. country has, they do not play about a 2 weeks off minimum every 10 weeks of labor. I'm not joking. Yeah, yeah. If you tell, like, and obviously there are people who are, like, wildly exploited every mm-hmm. day who do not have access to these breaks, but, like, I'm talking just regular mm-hmm. schmegular
jobs. Post office, teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you tell them, and they don't believe in a 1 week break. Oh, the first week is the appetizer. A three-day weekend? You're joking. That might as well be 5 minutes. They're saying 2 weeks minimum.
Yeah.
And the entire month of August is off. Don't go to France in August. Everything's closed.
Yeah.
Everything's closed. From the government to the restaurants, closed. Like, even if you're not Catholic, Sundays, you don't work. Why would you work on a Sunday?
No.
Like, the whole, like, so just working in the United States, trying to find a job that, like, doesn't have crazy hours or doesn't demand literally every waking minute of your life is gonna be quite difficult. And I'm right there with you as well.
Yeah, we don't have the answers, and I think that in terms of fitting into or combating these systems, it's like it's so hard, and I think there's no way one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, it's not a one thing that everybody can do. Like, that's not how that works. That's not how people work.
Mm-hmm. Also, we need communist engineers.
Like,
we
I fear, need like, dead communist, ass.
Like, computer science people.
Yeah.
Very much.
Because we live in a world that needs that infrastructure. But how can we find infrastructure and build it that services the people and not imperialism and the exploitation of workers? How do you do that? It's so hard. And I think, like, you know, trying to even struggle balancing multiple part-time jobs to pay your rent and or even working full-time at, like, a service job, like, that really seems to be what the economy is looking like for most young people.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going into a professional career, so, you know, doing a PhD, going into academia, which there's no jobs. Let's be real. Let's be real for a minute. Even if you want to do that, there are no jobs. Like, my friends who are applying to PhD programs, like, they are not going to go unless they get into UChicago, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, because they know they're not going to get a job out of there otherwise. And yeah. The professors that I knew and I spoke to in college who were younger and were doing their postdocs and stuff, I mean, they're all saying the same thing. It's like, it's impossible to find a full-time gig, even a part-time one. Mm-hmm. I had one professor that was making $20,000 a year, let that sit with you, working in Massachusetts, like, with a PhD from Stanford University.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's...
So, either if you do that, or you go into med school, go into $500,000 of debt...
Mm-hmm.
And then work your ass off for the rest of your life, or I don't even know, like, or what, like, it, there are no options, it really feels like, and it's just, it's hard, like, there are so many things to consider, and, like, I don't have the answers, I don't think you have the answers, mm-hmm. like, we struggle with this every day. It's hard enough knowing that you exist in the empire and being aware of that, seeing the consequences of that in the people that you love, and even just living with yourself. So, like, I don't even know how to best direct people when it comes to this sort of thing. That's why we're telling you, don't ask us for advice. Live your best life. Yeah. Like, do what you want that fits within your idea of morality and how you want to contribute to the world. Because there's some of my friends who do, like, work at, like, Barclays or in trades or whatever the fuck, or got their business degrees, and, you know, they work their jobs, and or they have their IT or comp sci degrees, and, you know, they work their jobs, and really at the end of the day, everybody's just like, we gotta pay rent. We gotta pay the damn bills. I need...
Putting shit aside so that they can just...
I need health insurance. Have food to eat
and live somewhere.
Yeah. Like, it's really, really bad. And also, like, there's no way to do any of this, like, on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone who has a degree of parental support is the reason why they're not homeless. Like, anyone who... has been able to go to school debt-free, or who's been able to, like, everyone is only here because of the people who have helped us be here. And, like, I think that's one of the best things that you can do for yourself, your community, and the world, is to really treasure, appreciate, and foster the relationships that are important to you, and that, and helping people, doing what you can for other people, and letting those people help you.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that as we progress into this really fascistic, self-isolating, like, distanced and alienating sort of environment and world of, I mean, living in the US, but just in this global sort of system and economy, as things continue to become worse and worse, and everybody, like, mm-hmm. is struggling more and more, I think the best thing that you can do for yourself is to, like, actually care about other people and really, and care about yourself and care about the world. Like, I don't think people shouldn't stop caring no matter where they are in their lives, and people shouldn't stop maintaining relationships and holding on to, like, where love is, because that's, like, really... It's that commitment that allows you, and it's that fuel that allows you to be committed to what you believe and what you want to be true and what you're working into being true. And I think Julie Singh here, and, like, her experiences and working in public defense, like, that is really important work. But mm-hmm. one of my friends who is a working attorney now, or I think she might be in law school, but she's, like, working part-time, She made a post on her Instagram story that really resonated with me, where it was, like, she was talking about how one of her clients was this 80-year-old man who, like, is in prison and is in solitary confinement, but he needs medical care, like, full-time care, because he's 80 years old and he's disabled. Mm-hmm. And, but the prison and the judges won't let him, like, get the medical support that he needs. They won't let him even be, like, in the sort of gen pop of the prison. They say that he has to be in solitary because he's, like, a threat to others. This man can't move. This man can't even, like, go to the bathroom by himself. What do you mean? Judges, ultimately, like, they are able to ruin people's lives every hour, every 30 minutes. And as a lawyer, and with her work, it's like, that's what she's up against. That's what she's up against, and that's the world and the reality that she is in, and that's her job. And she's like, and that's why your job isn't the work. Like, yeah. You can't do the work through just your job. Like, that's not possible because of how institutionally the barriers to being able to contribute anything real to society, you could have the best of intentions and you're still going to come up against every single thing that is set up to make everything worse. And I think, like, that's also true for people who are going into more noble professions for the purpose of wanting to, A, provide a stable life for themselves, and B, also be able to help people and actually contribute to their communities, whether that be being a nurse or a teacher or a librarian or just anything. But, like, again, like, you're gonna come up against, like, fuck-ass administrators, parents who don't give a fuck, like, people, the fact of you having to be the only social service for an entire community as a librarian because there are no homeless shelters and there's not enough social workers, being a social worker and being in a world where no one cares about the people that they're helping within an institution that is set up against the most marginalized. Even at their best, you don't have the resources to help people. Like, you can't, it's not possible, I don't think. And
I remember my last year of college going to, like, one of my favorite professors, like, office hours, mm-hmm. who I was quite close with, and her asking me, like, so what do you want to do? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Essentially, and being like, well, I think it'd be very hard for me to enter a field or a job that I found to be, like, politically compromising mm-hmm, for myself. Mm-hmm. And that really, really limits mm-hmm. what I'd be willing to do. I'm like, I just don't think I would be able to do it because I would be, like, so angry. Like, mm-hmm. I would just not be able to, like, set that aside. And mm-hmm. she was like, and I see that for you. She's like,
right. Like, that makes sense. That's your tea.
That's my tea. And so I think of, like, the part-time gig economy world. Mm-hmm. You can't take on that guilt, you mm-hmm. know? Like, you mm-hmm. can't worry about, like, your gas emissions mm-hmm. when you're, like, a Lyft and Uber driver, mm-hmm. I don't think. Because, mm-hmm. like, that's not your problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you needing to make money to, like, have food to eat mm-hmm. throughout the day is a systemic issue, mm-hmm. and it's city governments not investing in their public transportation mm-hmm. that so many people have to rely on these privatized companies mm-hmm. and things of that nature, like mm-hmm. The car industry is terrible. The coffee industry, like, if you're a barista, the way that these mega corporations are colonizing these countries that they're getting these beans from, like,
oh my god,
It is insane. Your problem in that you're a citizen of the world, like, have solidarity with these people, but it's mm-hmm. like, you need to pay rent, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And then there's people who design the bombs, mm-hmm. make the bombs, mm-hmm. make millions and millions mm-hmm. of dollars mm-hmm. off of
poisoning the water. Promoting the water. Marketing things such as a carbon footprint.
Like, aggressive loans. Like, these loan sharks and stuff like that. Those
landlords. People who work at real estate companies, whatever the fuck that means. Like, there are, and this is what I mean by, like, you have to be tapped in and engaged with your community to mm-hmm. even begin to think about these things critically and be able to then engage with them, is that you don't get to becoming a landlord by being nice to people, by caring mm-hmm. about people, mm-hmm. by caring about where they're at in their lives. You don't get to designing bombs without really disconnecting from your own humanity mm-hmm. severely. And it's just not possible. Like, we're people. We're all people. We all are, we all live in a world with other people. And the fact that there are people who don't care about other people is what is like so terrifying. And you can never let yourself slip into that world. Like, you gotta keep your priorities straight. Think about what are your values, and you live your life to those values. Set those standards for yourself. No, we can't tell you what those are. We can't tell you what to do.
It will keep you broke.
Yeah,
well, it will. Because I think the other thing about like capitalism and this like increasing fascism, and also just like the lack of social security, like the way that even unemployment is ass. It's 2024. There's no universal health care in the United States. Like, that's fucking crazy. And so, like, that means that, like, the culture and work culture really incentivizes being heartless and being cruel and hyper-individualistic to the point of not caring if your neighbor lives or dies.
Yeah, it's an Ouroboros.
Like, and you will profit from adopting those values, which means that you don't profit when you choose to even slightly value having good politics or caring or valuing love and, you know, humanity. Significant ways and, like, maintaining connections, because those are not necessarily profitable. It's, like, a space and a part of humanity that's very difficult to commodify and sell back to you. You can't really, like, sell love.
Dating apps.
And, like, dating apps, like, what they actually sell is they sell access to women. They sell, like, women are the commodities of dating apps. It is not this, like, way to, like, cut through the noise and meet people in your community. Like, how you meet people through your community is, like, joining running clubs, taking a ceramics class, going to your library, going to the local bar. Like, it's, like, getting to know the local people that you interact with every day. And I think it's, like, difficult because rent is rising everywhere, inflation is rising everywhere, and minimum wage isn't budging. And that is, like, really difficult. So, like, the end question of, have you struggled with this?
Yes.
In fact, probably for the past, like, year or so, year and a half, like, your last year of college is, like, okay, so what am I gonna do after college? Like, it really starts to consume, like, every aspect of your life, and I've noticed that, like, post-college life and the pressure, like, the financial pressures that just young adults face, and especially if you don't have that much support from your parents, like, it starts to cannibalize
your whole
so
life.
Much of your time. And you start to having to, like, cut back on things that, like, you're either, like, soothing yourself from the absolute, like, tragedy and depression of, like, being broke and, like, needing to find a way to survive and the stress of that. And then, like, working. And so being able to, like, build up a life for yourself where you're able to take that excess time to give back, to do the groundwork, to not be isolated and working, eating, sleeping is really difficult. Obviously, it's like, important and that's a long-term goal. I will say the other thing, though, is I believe Julie said, yeah, you're 22. There's a whole life ahead to, like, be, like, even, I always think of this, especially with, like, the BuzzFeed people, or, like, people when I was a teenager, and they were in their 20s, and they're talking about being broke, now have homes and stable careers, and, like, are content, where I'm, like, there is, like, a rockiness that, like, saving $5 every day by the time you get to a certain age will amount to something, and these, like, endless gig jobs that people when I was younger would talk about, now live completely normal lives. But I'm like, there is a way out of this. It feels so, like, insurmountable, I think, right now. Especially because now you just have, like, you have this college degree. And, like,
you're standing in the middle.
No, literally. And you're just like, so what do I do with this? I also don't think that it helps, like, it doesn't help that, like, public education was just, like, cut down so much before our age group, like, entered public education, which means, like, home ec and these, like, trade classes, like, woodshop and, like, mechanic, like, people actually used to take, like, skill-based classes in high school and stuff, and even, like, just, like, professionalism and, like, basic computer skills outside of, like, social media
and also stuff. Learning how to be normal around other people.
Yeah.
Like, thank God I went to public school. Thank God we went to public schools that had more than 1,000 people.
Yes.
Because, like, that's the thing also. I'm friends with so many people I mm-hmm. spoke to in high school and I was friends and I took classes with. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult now. We're many years out of high school. Like, yeah. But I'm still friends with those people, you know, and there's some of the most loved people in my life and they really love and care about me too. Mm-hmm. And we've been through a lot of shit together. And like, I think that when you are in spaces where you have to be, other people are your lifeline.
Oh, I would have dropped out of high school so bad if it wasn't for the friends and the class that I had. And also the connections that I had with the teachers. Like,
yeah.
Like, in high school, I was, like, in such a bad place in my relationship to the people that I saw as what, like, got me through. Mm-hmm. And I think in, like, adulthood, it's gets a little bit harder because you don't have, like, that place where you're spending 8 hours a day mm-hmm. where you have to see people. You have to make that concerted effort to maintain these relationships.
You're with coworkers who you could fuck with or you couldn't, or you might not, you know?
But at the end of the day, it's, like, maintaining those relationships that help push you forward mm-hmm. and, like, help navigate this.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the other thing about school is that you get to find the people that you fuck with. Mm-hmm. You have time to. Mm-hmm. You get the time to, you get the spaces to, you get the, like, that's what it allows you. And then when you're an adult and when you're working and stuff, you don't choose who the fuck you work with. You mm-hmm. are just stuck in the same office or in the same restaurant or wherever with just any damn body. Like,
yeah.
And you just have to deal with it for however long you stay there or however long they stay there. And mm-hmm. like, that's hard as fuck. No, nothing in your life lets you adjust to that until you get there.
Yeah.
That's also why I think being someone who can handle being in community with people you don't even necessarily fuck with is, like, important, while also maintaining those relationships that are very near and dear to your heart. Because, girl, we all gotta do it. In any society, that's gonna have to happen. Like, you're gonna have to work and play and be around with people who you do not fuck with. So get used to it. Because that's going to be your whole life.
It's, we're just like, I don't know, sad.
Yeah.
But it's like just part of the realities. And I think like navigating it is the way that you like discover what you actually like. Like I think mm-hmm. not expecting an answer and not like expecting one thing to be the absolute solution to mm-hmm. solve this kind of like existentialism mm-hmm. and remembering that is important. I say that again as someone who has OCD, which mm-hmm. means that reasonable explanations for what I'm feeling don't always work. Mean less than nothing sometimes. So like I think like being aware of, you know, where you're at, what your actual like health capacity is very important, because you're also not helpful to anyone if you're, like, running yourself into the ground.
That's the thing, right? Like, your cannibalizing cup needs yourself to be full in order for you to pour into others.
Yeah.
And that's the, I'm like, we barely are able to maintain this podcast when we're working mm-hmm. and when we were in school. I mean, it was a bit easier when we were in school, but, like, we can barely get this together.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this for years. And ideally,
this would be what we love to do. Like, this is what we love to do. But it's, like, and not in any bad way, but I'm like, this doesn't pay the rent in that. That's also, like, not what this is, like, for. Like, it would be nice, because then we could do more of it. But, like, you have to get a job. Yeah. And it's, like, just very difficult to.
Yeah, my friend turned to me and was like, it's mm-hmm. so fucked up that you need, like, a full-time career or whatever. Like, you should just be able to make the podcast and, like, live your best life. Yes. And I'm like, I've always said this. But, guys, mm-hmm. like, here's the thing. We only get money through our Patreon.
Yeah.
And, obviously, there's no pressure to join it. Like, if you don't. Mm-hmm. Don't have the money, or if you can't, or you don't want to, like, who gives a fuck? But that's literally the only money we make from this. Mm-hmm. Literally. Apple Podcast doesn't pay us. Spotify doesn't pay us. We've never taken a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Like, even on my own YouTube, I don't make cents to a dollar on YouTube. And, like, it's just hard. Like, and so we're all just trying to get by. Yep. And
to answer your second mm-hmm. question, is where do you see yourself fitting into the system slash doing the work to break down white supremacy and patriarchy, it's ableism, etc., while working in the system. And I'll just answer for myself, like, I do love working with children. I will probably be working either in or adjacent to education, because I find that working with kids and building a relationship with them, for me, it is not for everyone. And if it's not for you, don't go into education, is the best way for me to, like, actually stop sexism and racism and ableism as I see it by working with children. Yeah. And even though I'm getting exploited, I do not like a lot of the bosses that I've had while working with kids or any of those things.
Or your fucking coworkers.
Or my coworkers. It's, for me, I feel fulfilled. Like, that's the thing. It's, like, the fulfillment of what you do is also what's going to motivate you, regardless of, like, the external sources or whatever, like, slew of shitty managers that you will have. It's crazy that, like, as a kid, people trying to get you into, like, if you're the hardest worker and you're really smart, you're managerial. You're managerial material. Every manager I've ever met.
Dumb as fuck.
Actually, bad at their job.
So bad.
And don't get fired because they're the manager. So who's going to fire them? Yeah. It's actually ridiculous. But for me, like, when I think of, like, the social ills that really bother me in the world or other things, and I try and think of how I can, like,
alleviate that or
fix that, for me, that's working with children.
Yeah.
For the, my best friend who went to school for, like, architecture and stuff, it's building, like, accessible buildings and, like, advocating for comprehensive, like, public transportation and, like, the city jobs that she's trying to get.
Yeah.
And, like, trying to combat, like, architectural, like, racism and colonization and, like, actually make things that are for the community. And that is a very important and necessary job and perspective to have in that field. Like, people who go into medicine, who volunteer their time at, like, the public clinics and stuff like that to combat, and, you know, go in not wanting to be, like, an ableist doctor and stuff like that, are the people who are combating these, like, medical racisms and stuff like that. So it's also, like, what speaks to you and then finding the avenues, like, in that field that allow you to do that work. Yes. Which, again, is devalued.
Yeah.
That's not where the rich stuff is. The rich the rich doctors do plastics and anesthesiology.
And dermatology.
Yeah.
Oh, tell 15-year-olds to use retinol.
Yeah. And the plastic surgeon who gave, like, 19-year-old Kylie Jenner, like, a boob job, you know? Like, that's the tea. These 16-year-olds getting nose jobs for the birthday. So.
Jesus Christ. Like, that's medical malpractice.
Yes. I genuinely think so. Also, my body has changed so much since I was, like, 19 to now, like, in the past 4 years. The idea of, like, having surgically changed my body, even as a legal adult, whatever the fuck that means.
And not in a trans way.
No, nothing about
that, by the way.
I'm talking about, like, pure aesthetics.
Yes.
Because that's also, like, if someone is, like, I need top surgery, I'm going to kill myself.
That's not an aesthetic. That's healthcare.
Like, but, anyways.
Plastic surgery is not healthcare.
No.
I don't think plastic surgeons should even be considered doctors or surgeons. You're putting knives in people's faces. But how does this benefit anybody, for real? I'm sorry, under my regime, plastic surgery...
I was in eighth grade saying California needs to make plastic surgery, like, optional, because I think, like, I did a caveat for, like, burn victims or stuff like that, because that's, like, also, like, helping someone. Like, you need skin to, like, function and,
but,
like,
and that's the other thing. It's, like, people...
And, like, as protective barriers.
Treat disabled people so horrifically, especially when they're disfigured. The way that people will make fun of and bully people online for how they look, which is already just, like, whatever. Like, don't... I don't believe really in that. I like people. I like calling people ugly. That's I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that every day with the people that I don't like who are bullying my friends. But like making like pointing out the things that you don't like about someone's face or body or whatever. It's like
I'm people are way too comfortable talking about people's bodies. Strangers' bodies.
Yeah.
Online, it really bothers me. Even if that's like not your choice or your tea. Like, tweeting out to the public specific things that you think is ugly or, like, bad, like, aesthetically, about a stranger online, very strange to me.
I'm like, your friends
you're not even talking about
have
fashion,
those features.
You're not talking about, like...
Like, the people that you date could have those features. The people that you work with. Like, you're just, you're slandering people for something they can't choose. And if they did choose to change it, That's fucked up. That reflects on you and society for treating them poorly in that way. Like, the way that people, when they're disfigured, either from birth or from trauma or from scarring of any kind, like, the way that people treat people differently because of that is... I'm just like, it is real. I'm like, we're not 5-year-olds anymore. It's okay if you're 7 and you're looking at someone and you're like, that person looks really strange. Mm-hmm. They look different from every other person I've
seen. Probably because you've only seen maybe 50
literally.
People.
Literally. Like, of course. Mm-hmm. But we're adults. Let's be normal. There are people who look every sort of type of way because of any type of circumstance. And I think that's something I'm passionate about. And I think I tweeted this last night. Guys, I don't have a Twitter. I don't have a Twitter, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I said this, I was like, I hate when my friends call themselves ugly or fat or whatever. Like, I hate it. I hate it because what does beauty serve you? Mm-hmm. Why do you buy into that? Why buy into the logics of I'm beautiful or I'm not, or assessing your worth off of your looks? Why? How does that serve you? Unless your beauty is paying the bills, unless you're an influencer or a stripper, or like, why the fuck should it matter? Like, the people who are going to treat you poorly, either on an institutional level, like, because obviously women who are prettier make more money, you know what I mean? Like, obviously there are so many things put in place, but like, just in your interpersonal life, the people who don't fuck with you because of how you look, you shouldn't fuck with them. Like, I really think that also beauty is, like, so, because it's so subjective and because it doesn't have any real worth if you look past all the things that in society are systemically, like, forcing you to want to change how you look and what you do with your body, beyond that, like, who fucking cares? If you think you're beautiful, then you are. Like, if you say to yourself enough times that you are beautiful, gorgeous, pretty, like, then you just are. Like, 100% of that is just about how you feel about it, is, like, you making yourself feel like that. You loving yourself, like, and valuing your own humanity, because you are a person. Like, we should all care about people, and we should care about ourselves. And that's sort of the crux of, like, how do you balance that when the world that we live in really feeds an individuality complex that allows you to exploit others and yourself down into the ground, down to the bone, while also, like, how do you combat that, but also survive on your own? Also be able to have the level of independence and freedom that, like, every human person deserves. Just deserves. Except for men, who should all be in prison.
That's true.
I don't believe in prison, but I do believe in kill all men. Well, yes. I mean, like, do we live in the same reality? Because I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, I think all of you guys can go.
Absolutely.
Anyways,
the solution is a complete restructuring of our economic and cultural systems, because that's the only way that we're going to find real relief.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, carry on.
Yeah.
If you do find a job, let me know. See if you can hook me up, really.
Yeah, keep us updated, y'all.
Yeah.
I love asking people where they work and what their jobs are. Like,
oh, I will ask what people get paid like nobody's business.
Literally.
You got a job, how much are you getting paid?
No, literally.
Per hour? Salary? Biweekly? Monthly?
What are the benefits? How many days do you get off? PTO?
Yeah.
Health insurance?
How much is going to unemployment in the future? You got retirement? How much are you giving to it? Oh, money's not a taboo for me. Because also I feel like, before I move on, it clarifies so much of the conversation and where someone's at, because anyone can be struggling. Yeah. You can make $100,000 a year, and in your mind, because if everyone around you is making $1 million a year,
you're
struggling. You're broke.
Yeah.
But if you make $100,000 a year and everyone around you is making
$30K,
you're rich.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I think, like,
financial, you gotta tap into your community.
Like, financial transparency is really, really important, because also, the likelihood of, like, someone being able to successfully navigate certain periods of their life, be able to take on different endeavors, is so often determined by, like, their financial status and class and how much money they have access to. Not only theirs, because rich kids love to say, I'm not rich, my parents are. Oh, no. I'll kill you so fast.
Like,
oh, I'll kill you so fast if you say.
And that's the
because
other thing.
Unless you are estranged, unless you have cut those ties, Mamas, that's your line of credit. That's your credit card.
Like people who, when they were babies, their parents set up a credit card for them and then mm-hmm. ran their credit on it so they could have a good score when they were an adult. That, you know what I mean? Like, you benefit from that.
Yeah.
There are so many ways that we all benefit, whether that be from having loving parents, to mm-hmm. having parents who financially support you, to having friends who will drive you around because you don't have a car. Exactly. To have, like there are so many ways that you can benefit and that you can benefit others.
Mm-hmm.
To not take advantage of that where you can is really, I think, stupid.
Yeah.
Live with your parents as long as you possibly can, y'all. Like, that's serious. Theme. Like it's bad out here. Use every resource possible. 'Cause how the fuck else are we collectively supposed to survive? And speaking of killing all men, let's tune into Short and Sweet. Well, yes!
What a transition.
Time to get into the Sabrina Carpenter tea.
And I don't think there's a deluxe version.
No, and it should stay that way. Because that 36-minute album, tea. Thank God. Because some people can take notes. Some people.
If Taylor Swift's next album is not under an hour...
Chop.
I might not be listening to it if I'm being honest. I can't.
Oh my God.
I can't. I really, so long. I think she saw so many listening to Folklore and Evermore at the same time playlists and then went,
oh.
No, that's not what that was about. That was not an invitation for a 3-hour long album.
But yeah. Anyway.
Like, you're not the Martin Scorsese of music. Like, please, edit.
No, and that's the other thing.
You're the Wachowski sisters at best.
Sabrina's album, this album, is really showing me she is a Tay daughter and an Ariana son. Like, Tay daughter, Ariana son.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly Parton, granddaughter.
Yeah. Grandniece. I was surprised with how much, like, country twinge there was, which, of course, you know I love. Right. That's really where I live. But I wasn't expecting it, but very much appreciate it. Yeah. I was like...
Because, that's where songwriting lives.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, that cover that she did of These Boots Are Made for Walking with Kacey Musgraves was not good.
I didn't even tune in.
Not good. I was a bit disappointed. I was like, okay, I'm critically ignoring that.
Well, also, the Sabrina Carpenter cover of Good Luck, Babe, I'm not listening to that shit. Girl.
She does need to vocally work out a little bit more, because you can tell she has a great voice. Great singer.
Yeah.
I need her to...
Emote.
Project.
Yeah.
Speak from the diaphragm.
Yeah.
I need those runs to have a little bit more force behind them.
Yes, yes.
Would love to hear that.
When the runs are there,
She can do it. She just needs to be stronger.
I agree.
Which I'd love to see from her.
And because I think she has, she has a particular sort of vocal styling.
Yeah.
That is... It's very appealing, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but it's not particularly unique. Like, with Chapel, she has a yodel.
Yes.
Like, she got that yodel down.
Mm-hmm.
And she can jump these octaves like nobody else. Sabrina, and she emotes. She emotes. Something about her, she's gonna emote. But Sabrina, she has a very smooth voice.
Yes.
It's very, very smooth. And she can hit those high notes. Again, like, she has that Ariana sort of, vibe to it.
Yeah.
But, but let's get into the ranking. Let's get into the ranking. This is out of 5 stars, this is a 3.5-star album to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it has... Yeah. Very similar to Emails I Can't Send, right?
Mm-hmm. There's some bangers.
Like, the bangers are bangers.
Yep.
And the songs that are...
Those are skipped. And actually, looking at the album as a cohesive, body of work, I think that the second half of the album is much weaker than the first. With some...
I would agree.
With some sort of, exceptions. Because there's always an exception to the rule, you know?
Yes.
But I really think that the second half of the album is much weaker than the first. And the single she picked... Singles. The singles were singling,
absolutely. Which I think is really, what she's good at. Sabrina, it's not No Lover era with the fucking me single. I'm sorry. Infamously bad single picking when Cool Summer is right there.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, let's just get into it.
Oh, actually, before the ranking, too, another thing about the album is about Body of Work. My friend, Reem, who... smartest teenager I know. She just started college. She's my little sister.
Aww.
She's my little sister. I talk to her every day. Reem doesn't listen to podcasts, though, so I'll just edit this out and, not edit it out, but I'll send her a clip of this.
Mm-hmm.
Reem, she was telling me, let me actually find the text with her, because I thought that what she had to say was, really, was really interesting. She listened to Short and Sweet once and she liked it. Some of the tracks felt a little half-baked in her opinion. I think the album needed more time, but I'm guessing they wanted to get it ASAP because Sabrina is an it girl right now. Because I thought Espresso was only supposed to be a festival single, like something she dropped just for fun before doing a bunch of summer festivals, and then it went crazy. Yeah. So, and I think, like, that's true. It's true. Like, she had a deadline. She had to drop an album for the summer.
This summer.
Like,
absolutely.
In order to capitalize off of the rise, the skyrocketing of her career when she's made, like, six albums before this.
Yeah, but this, the Emails I Can't Send, I think, was her first one not also working at Disney. And then this is now her second.
Yeah.
So I think there's, like a quote or something being like, I really consider this more like my sophomore album.
Yeah.
And then an oomph of ours being like, I know she wasn't gonna count her earlier work.
You know, exactly.
But also, it's the same thing with, like, Ariana Grande doesn't consider, like, Put Your Hearts Up or Put Your Hands Up or whatever as, like, her first single.
Yeah.
Because that was while she was still on Victorious or maybe, like, Sam and Cat or something.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she did have a pop music career before the end of that, but that's not typically what people consider. And I respect that for Sabrina, because I think, like, also in terms of her curating, like, her own voice and her own style, like, I'm sure this feels more like her second album versus, like, you know, working
her
as a child.
Yeah. But, okay. Ranking time. First of all, before we get into this, we have the same number one. We have the same number one.
Yes. No surprise.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 12, Dumb and Poetic.
Where did I put that?
Did you forget to rank that? Do you have 12 songs in your ranking?
I do. No, I do not.
Girl. Help!
Okay. I know where I'm putting it, though, so don't worry. My number 12 is Lie to Girls.
That's my 11.
My 11 is Dumb and Poetic.
Guys, we're on a real wave here.
I know.
In terms of like having the same assessments of music.
Well, because I feel like these albums are making it quite easy for these rankings, if I'm being honest.
What? That's tea. That's no tea, no shade, but you know.
I don't like it when any girl of any sort of background really gets into that rhetoric space that Lie to Girls and Dumb and Poetic seem to have.
Don't be pathetic. Don't be pathetic. Pathetic girl music, I don't fuck with it.
I don't.
And
you don't have to date these people, these men.
I'm like,
you don't.
Here's the thing. Pathetic girl music, we've maxed out with Beyonce and Taylor. We know that their man ain't shit. So we heard all these songs. We know what it's like. Let's put that in the past.
Yeah.
Let's put that in the past.
I just don't like it, especially with this whole, like, kind of, like, girly, girl's girl type thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's, like, low-hanging fruit.
I know.
Low-brow.
I know.
And
like
I just don't like
the
it.
The boy obsession, but they're all bad. I'm like, this is high school shit. This is high school shit.
You're
grown. The grown-ass women I know,
they're not talking about boys like this.
No.
Not talking about men like this, definitely.
No. So, my number 10 is Slim Pickens.
Okay. My number 10 is Coincidence.
I see.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Actually, why is that so low?
I find it a bit of an earworm, because I was listening to this last night, and I was like, wait, hold on, this is kind of tea.
Coincidence. I think I like the chorus, and I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
But it also sounds so different from, our number one. And, like, the singles that came out, so, like, I was a bit surprised when I heard it. But I like it.
Yeah, I like it. My number 9 is Don't Smile.
My number 9 is Good Graces. I would understand. I think it's fine. Do you know what my thing is with a lot of these songs, though?
What?
I like the chorus, but I don't like the verses.
I see. Yeah.
I like it. Like, yeah.
I see.
Solid choruses.
We're going on divergent paths now. We are.
Well, I think our top. I think maybe because now we're in the middle. It's such a short album.
Yeah. So my number 9.
Yeah.
Is Taste.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's too similar to Deja Vu by Olivia Rodrigo. Like, thematically, why did you start your album with that girl?
Oh.
Thematically, it's too similar.
I wasn't thinking about that. I mean, good point.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Maria by Dua Lipa. It's off of her newest album.
No.
Guys, Dua Lipa's newest album is really good.
Really?
It's really good. I don't know if you're really a Dua girl. You're not. I am. I've been here for a while. Mm-hmm. Just when it comes to her albums, I don't really, like, stan her.
Yeah.
But I listen to her music. She's been putting in the work, guys. That album is really good. But it's almost like the reverse of Maria. So from the perspective of someone who's with the guy, mm-hmm. who can, like, still has the sense of the mm-hmm. ex-girlfriend in the relationship that mm-hmm. she's in.
So, your number eight is...
My number eight is Slim Pickens.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Slim Pickens is, like, whatever, it's kind of mid. But for me, Taste is above it, because Taste is still catchy. Like, it still has, like, an upbeat sort of pop sensibility to it. So, yeah. But my number seven is Sharpest Tool.
Okay, my number seven is Don't Smile.
Yeah, I mean, I think Don't Smile is, like, a cute song.
Ours really isn't that separate.
But my number seven, the reason why I like Sharpest Tool, and that's why it's kind of in the mid half there, mm-hmm. is because I love a song about that's giving casual by Chapel Room. I do.
And it does.
And I just think, and I eat it up every time. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. So, and your number seven is?
Don't Smile.
Mm-hmm. My number six is Coincidence. Because I feel like it has that Dolly Taylor vibe. Like, sort of like early, mm-hmm. just like, it just.
I wouldn't say Dolly necessarily.
Let me find Coincidence lyrics. Sabrina Carpenter lyrics. A one, two, three. The thing about Coincidence is that I think it has some clever songwriting in it, right? Where it's like, mm-hmm. last week you didn't have any doubts. This week you're holding space for her tongue in your mouth. Oh! Holding space. Ah! Because, like, she really integrates, like, the internet into this in a way that kind of is a through line from emails I didn't send. Because, obviously, emails I didn't send. Like, you know, sucking up to all your mutual friends. Like, yeah. The oompies. You're trying to suck up to the oompies. The way you told me the truth, -7%. What a coincidence. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there's some clever, just, like, little turns of phrases throughout this that I'm, like, I'm into it. Like, the second I put my head on your chest, she knew. She got a real sixth sense. When her name comes up once, then it comes up twice. Like, the use of numbers here.
Yeah.
When you started off with one, two, three. Like, it's cute. It's cohesive as a song. So, that's my number six. Did you say your number six?
Oh, my number six is Taste.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah. I think it came on in the car last night, and I was mm-hmm. like, yeah.
I also think, even though it's, like, not my number one song, and it's not one of the two singles, I think it was the correct song to release a music video with when the album released.
Yeah.
I think, like, in terms of, like, rollout, like, Sabrina is very good.
Yes, at building album hype, rollouts. Like, getting a cohesive look. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then at number five, mm-hmm. I have Good Graces.
Oh,
okay. I think it's giving Ariana Grande at her peak realness, like, cheeky down. Like, I love that song, because when I was listening to this album last night in order to figure out my ranking for this, I couldn't stop streaming Good Graces after we gotta play it after we record this, because I need you to listen with fresh ears.
Okay.
Fresh ears. But maybe that's just me. Your number five?
My number five is Sharpest Tool.
Yeah.
I really like that song.
Yeah. My number four is Juno.
My number four is Juno.
We are all dancing. Hormones are high. That's so good.
I think it's like, I really like the song. However, mm-hmm. I think it is like hilarious and crazy that it's like, I'll let you make me Juno. As in a reference to the movie Juno about a teenage pregnancy, unplanned teenage pregnancy, and this girl who, like, meets this family who, like, can't, like, conceive their own child. And then, like, the plot of the movie is so crazy and is so not Sabrina Carpenter's brand, so not the tone of this album at all, that the fact that, like, this 2007 indie, like, low-budget movie with Elliot Page is now the title and, like, basically cultural shorthand for pregnant, which is, like, I mean, kind of the movie, but also, like, really not, is, like, so funny, but, like, everything around this mm-hmm. song and, like, the actual mm-hmm. verses, I think, is very cute, but I just think, like,
well, I like the way that the she title says, is, like, Juno, so like, crazy. You know, like, I enjoy the little wordplay going on there.
Yeah, but I think if, like, the
I
movie
wasn't thinking
being,
about the movie.
The movie being reduced movie. To that is, like, just, like, a little bit wild, but I think it's a cute song. It's my number four.
My number three is Please, Please, Please.
My number three is also Please, Please, Please.
Because that shit is so fucking catchy. It's so fucking catchy, dude.
It's really good.
Like, yeah. And then my number two, our number two, is espresso.
Espresso.
That's that me espresso.
I mean, it just...
I'm working late.
Because
I'm a singer.
I mean, like, the vocal,
like,
clip. Yep. Everyone was referencing it the minute it came out. Took the world by storm. You can't deny it.
It's just so good.
Very, very
good. Even Matt, the biggest hater on earth, loves espresso. Loves that shit. It's so good.
So good.
And our number one, let's say it together.
Bedchem.
Oh!
Bedchem is the song off the song. Album.
Like, she
is so happy she used it as a sleeper hit. Like, that should not have been a single, because then the album would have been quite disappointing.
But this as a sleeper hit in the middle of this album, like, ooh!
Really?
Right after, like, I think it's placed right after, like, a single or something like that. I think after Espresso.
It is after Coincidence.
Oh.
Before Espresso.
Yeah. Like, I think the way that it was placed, it's really smart because, girl, you cooked. You cooked and then served and we ate. Like.
Please. It's just, it's so good. So our top four are the same then.
Yeah. 100%.
Right, exactly. Because those are the four best songs in that order the album.
Well, yes. It's true. It's true. But,
and it's only a 12 album song. That's literally a third of the album.
Yeah. Like,
amazing.
Amazing. I mean, a good work. Good. A minus. You know what I mean?
Because the music industry, I was scared.
Yeah.
I was getting scared.
Yep, yep. Like, we saw what happened with Ice Spice.
Don't even get me started.
Exactly. Exactly.
There is someone preying on her downfall. There are people in that inner circle who are not working with her best interest. And I clocked that.
Yeah.
If we remember. Yeah. I was like, this is not how this was supposed to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And,
but alas.
For this album?
But this album, yeah. I mean, Island Records, I think, is the record label that owns both, that both Sabrina and Chapel are signed with.
Oh, okay.
T.
And when's their Girl So Confusing coming out? Just a little question.
Because they're like fans of each other. It's cute. It's so cute.
Sweet.
Okay, what song do you want Chapel to cover of Sabrina's? Bedchem. Bedchem, I want to hear that.
Coincidence if Chapel really went like country pop would be.
Have you heard
the guitar?
Subway. It's a leaked demo from
of Chapel. I saw like on Twitter like these leaked demos coming up, but I haven't really listened to.
Well, there's Subway and there's Read and Make Out. They sound kind of very different from each other, but Read and Make Out, it's like kind of rock.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of has like a Lana vibe to it. Mm-hmm. It's good. But anyways, I'm seated as fuck for CR 2. Mm-hmm. But Sabrina Carpenter, she ate. She ate. Left no crumbs, I fear.
I feel like Bedchem really strikes to me like the Read Your Mind.
Yes.
For me,
dude,
from
Read Your Mind came up on Paris's like shuffle, and I was like, this. She was like, oh yeah, this is the first song that I listened to that really made me like her, and I was like, same. I showed the song to Renaissance in Minneapolis, our hotel.
Yeah.
And you said, let me add that to the playlist.
And it's because it's really good.
It's so good.
Read Your Mind is, and that's the thing, like Emails You Can Send has emails I can't send.
Girl, I don't know.
Anyways. That album has, like, some really strong bangers. And then some songs that I'm like... And I've listened to the whole album quite a number of times.
I would say my favorite of Emails is Bet You Wanna.
Yes.
I really like Bet You Wanna. And I really like Read Your Mind. I really like...
See, one of my favorites off. So I think one time...
Feather?
Oh, of course. Feather is so good. And Nonsense, of course.
Nonsense. Da-na-na-na-na. So good. I like Already Over. I like Lonesome. I like Vicious. Yeah.
But anyways, those are my thoughts.
Those are our thoughts on the album. I do like Tornado Warnings. Did I say that? I do like it. But anyways, so Sabrina... One
Much
to watch
love.
Out for.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love how in one of her lyrics, she like mentions how she's 5 foot. What a cutie.
She is tiny.
Yeah.
How.
Yeah. But like, and she covers that stage. She bodies that stage. And all you can do is smile.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I don't have any recommendations.
Actually, I do have a recommendation. for Miss Renaissance. Mix. MX.
Please.
But, it's because it was making me, we were talking about sort of the isolation and depression of work and coworkers, and I read this book called I Hope This Finds You Well, which is about a woman who works in an office at, like, some sort of dead-end job, and she has, like, these handful of, like, 8 coworkers who she hates all of them. But then over the course of the book, so at the very beginning of the book, she has, like, an email that she, like, basically, like, how she copes with hating her job is that she writes emails with her real, raw, unfiltered thoughts and, like, saves them to the draft or, like, copies them in white or whatever into the email. From when she sends, when she's, like, you know, I hope this finds you well, like, when she's emailing them. And, but then one day she accidentally forgets to turn it white, and it's just her, and mind you, she comes to work, she doesn't talk, she doesn't interact with nobody, she's not, one day she sends that, and it's 9/11. It's 9/11, but then we see how that works out for her, because there's, they also just, like, the boss hired a new HR guy, and then she kind of has, like, a, some sort of, they build a friendship together, and it's a really sweet novel, like, that shit will give you joy. Even though you will be depressed, you'll be satisfied, because she's so depressed. Who can't be in this world? So I would recommend I Hope This Finds You Well. So nice. Do you have any music recommendations for Sunny?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I do. There's actually one song, but now I can't remember. Did I put it here?
Here's the thing. Tinashe always giving us a sleeper hit.
Yes.
Like, Needs. Oh my, I streamed the fuck out of that song. But I really think you should listen to Sexy to Someone by Claro. It's a good song. I think you would like it. And I have some songs that we have to tune into.
I know. I literally thought one, and I was like, would it be a cop-out to, like, recommend, like, one song? And then I thought, maybe it is, because I haven't listened to the album. And now I can't remember what the song was.
Oh, no.
I know.
Weed Brain. Weed Brain.
I have more than just I have so much stuff happening up in here. Anyways.
Brain.
But I'll get back. I know.
But you know, it's okay. We don't need to have recommendations. Here's the thing. Whenever we give recommendations to y'all, like, y'all will take them, you know, like, Kiki, but y'all will email us recommendations.
Yes.
Y'all hit our line with recommendations all the damn time. I'll write them down.
Maybe my recommendation is Street Tacos. I've gotten really into those recently. Very, very good.
Your recommendation is not buying a new insulated water bottle every time a hot one comes out.
Actually, that will be. Yes. Public announcement. Yep. You need one. Maybe two. You need one insulated water bottle and maybe a tumbler.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Yeah.
If in 2 years, another Stanley Cup look-alike comes out as the new...
First it was the Hydro Flask.
And I see...
Now it's... saying. Now it's a Stanley Cup, now it's Owala.
Enough.
Enough!
I hate
the water bottles down.
And that dumb ass little backpack that people get for their Stanley Cups. Oh, that shit pisses me off. You want a purse? Get a purse. Get a bag. Why is there a food tray? Like, hand sanitizer. Like, why are you carrying perfume next to your water? First of all, who's spraying and then drinking water? The perfume's gonna get in the water. What? I hate that shit. Like, there's some stuff like, okay, we live under capitalism, consumerism, whatever. There's some shit that is just to have shit.
No, you know, like, what I mean? Literally, like, some of y'all are buying stuff just to buy stuff. And that's crazy to me. Your money is precious.
I know. I'm like,
put the wallet away.
What? Anyways, that actually is my problem. My recommendation is you need one water bottle and then you just clean it regularly.
Yeah.
Keep that water moving.
Yeah.
Did I get read by some kids because the handle on my water bottle's broken? I said, yeah, but it still works, doesn't it? Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Keep shit.
Yeah. Keep it till it breaks.
Like, unusably.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Anyways, thanks for listening, y'all. Thanks for watching if you're on the Patreon. Much love to everyone, and
see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.